The Oilers get back on the winning track last night. It was interesting. You know, you listen to Dave Tippett and you listen to Mike Smith. And Dave Tippett, you know, had a very different perception even of how the team played and Smith played compared to what Smith said.
I know. Yeah, he's kind of got his own thoughts, right? Like, yeah, he's got his own thoughts. You know, do you mean last night's game? Or do you mean 2 games ago?
The yeah, one like how didn't go well? Like, yeah, Tippett said he didn't think they played yeah. well, and the team or Smith. And Smith's like, I didn't think I played that bad. There's the one goal I would like, but the rest
three
of the
game. Real goals, and there's one you like back. But,
McDavid. Even McDavid said, I didn't think we played that bad. We just, he goes, I thought we played well enough to win. You know, we obviously don't want to give up six, but it was kind of an interesting one. And, you know, hey, I kind of, if the players and the coach, they don't always have to be singing kumbaya a little bit. You know, they might disagree on certain things, but I think the players feel like for the most part in the last, what are they, 7-2 now in their last 9 games, that for the most part, they've played pretty well in these games.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a confidence in the group that their game is rounding into a form that's they can feel a lot better about, you know, whether it's sustainable or not. I mean, we'll see. Like, they roll into Calgary here for a couple of games, and this will be interesting. These are always emotional games. These are always games that should bring out something in them. And so I'm interested to see if they're able to put together two, I don't know if they're going to win them both or not, but if they're able to put together another couple of really good performances. Because if they do, I mean, if they put together good performances in these two games, I mean, really, there hasn't been a stinker in a little while here. It's been a bit. You know, they haven't won everything, but it's been a little bit. So, yeah, you know what? I think Mike Smith has his own perception of things, and I don't know if anybody's convincing Mike Smith of anything. So he just kind of calls it like he sees it, and, you know, off he goes. And I think, you know, he performed well, and I think that's Dave Tippett. You know, I thought he should have started Koskinen, but Dave Tippett has a long history with Mike Smith and understands at what point in time certain buttons can be pushed and decided, hey, let's go back to him because my experience with Mike Smith is this, and it worked. So good on him. And now we'll see if Koskinen gets the next start and how he does.
Shauger, I thought the power play last night for the Oilers was really, really sharp. Maybe not for all six power plays, for a bulk of it. Now, they didn't really reward it, but there were some power plays where I thought, honestly, they could have had 4 or 5 goals, if not for Hellebuck and his play.
Interesting, Strati. Interesting. I agree with you that there were some really good looks on their power play. I don't disagree with that. I thought there were times where it looked awful. For like a minute 25. And this is the unique part of having a power play that stays out there the entire 2 minutes. Most power plays around the league don't have a chance to be crappy for a minute 10 and then pull it out in the last 30 seconds. This power play does. They can be junk. They can. I mean, I think there was one power play where they messed up on 3 or 4 zone entries for the first minute 15.
Yeah.
And then they scored in the last 10 seconds. Well, who else in the league gets a chance to do that? So I agree with you. When they were in and when they got set up, they're so dangerous. And I don't blame Dave Tippett for just saying, stay out there, do your thing. And I think it's a testament to McDavid and Draisaitl's ability to maintain a fair high amount of quality in their play deep into shifts. But I thought their power play was junk early in some of those power plays. Really struggled to get anything going in zone entries and stuff. And only for the benefit of being allowed to stay out there did they sort themselves out. But that's the benefit of having the guys that they have.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to go back and see how many chances they actually had. I mean, there was a lot of power play time, let's be honest. I think that maybe skews my memory a little bit. But I there was one power play. I'm not kidding. It had to be 4 goals they could have had. And shooting top shelf off that, like, but it was like they were really good chances. Like, not, you know, not a one-timer from the side that may or may not get blocked. I'm talking like 2-3 passes, boom, top shelf. Like, it was, to me, it looks so sharp. So I think where I'm going with this, and we might say a little bit differently, which is fair, but I think that this power play is due for a stretch of some sick output. Like, I'm talking really high percentage because they are right there. They're right on it. And, you know, I was very cool on the idea of how quickly this power play would start based on the change of personnel at the point. But now that's gone. And I think even their breakout looks a lot, it looks more organized. The first couple looked awful.
Well, did you see the one power play, guys? I think it was in the third period. They had, in the first 30 seconds, McDavid, Draisaitl, Nugent, and Hopkins all took a one-timer from the right side. All three of them. So that's how much movement they had had. And I was just like, oh, my goodness. Like, that's when you know they're starting to – like, they're starting to implement more things. Like, we've seen McDavid be more of the one-timer. Like, this power play over the last 3 years was the best when Draisaitl's the finisher, right? The numbers all back that up. Yep. And we saw it again last night. They score from that side. But it's interesting to see McDavid over there more. And even Nugent Hopkins taking a one-timer. Like, I can't remember the last time Ryan Nugent Hopkins took a one-timer.
Yeah, it's the Evan Bouchard, Tyson Berry effect. They've got guys that just have, they bring this intention to shoot the puck to the game, and maybe it's a little bit infectious to a power play. Now, there's times, I mean, they'll shoot it, and there's not risk, but it'll be a shot, and nobody's really going to the front of the net, right? So Drysdale's on the one side, McDavid's on the other. They set up a one-timer back to Berry, and it's just a shot on net. There's one net front guy that's, you know, that's maybe there, but ideally you'd have more bodies heading to the net for some of the shots that they're getting from back there.
Yeah.
But I'll read you the note that I have. This is the 3-1 power play goal. Draisaitl power play goal at tail end, deep into the power play after multiple failed entries. So that's the note that I wrote down on my iPad last night. It was one of those. I think they scored in the last like 10 or 11 seconds of a 2-minute power play, where the first minute 35 they just didn't have anything going. But then there's other ones where they get in and get set up, and there's so many options, and they're so dangerous. And I agree with you, Studs. It feels like, I mean, with the weapons that they have and the way they move it around, it wouldn't surprise anybody for them to go on a ridiculous tear with that power play, I think. But I think figuring out how to time it so that when Tyson Berry's going to uncork that shot from back there, they have a little bit more...
Yeah.
Funneling to the net of guys, not guys standing on the flanks like, oh, okay, that shot came. Kind of this feeling like, oh, the shot's coming, and everybody gets that instinct, so they start to get there. Because right now, some of those shots are coming through without a lot there.
Breaking down the Edmonton Oilers game last night with Short Park Songbird Ryan Rashog from TSN. Shogger, Gaetan Haas, Yamamoto, Kuhan, I see the and Archibald. These four guys, you know, either recently come in the lineup or they brought them in this year. They're bringing so much pace to the Oilers' gameplay, and it's really noticeable. Last night on the penalty kill, specifically with Gaetan and Archibald and Yamamoto. But you know, I recognize they're not huge human beings, but is this what we should expect more of from Ken Holland, to add guys that play with pace and some tempo? Because that's what, in my opinion, these four are bringing on a nightly basis.
Yeah, I mean, I would put Archibald, Yamamoto, and Haas into that category. I don't think that Cahoon pushes pace, but I think that there's a tenacious energy that he can play the game with that I think he can get a lot done in a real positive way when he's playing well. I don't view him as a guy that pushes pace, though, so maybe we view him a little bit different, but Archibald for sure. Gaetan Haas was excellent. Like, it's just, he gets on the ice and he skates super fast and he gets places quickly. He disrupts. He's just been really good. I don't think they can pile enough opportunity onto him. Just having him, if he's healthy, he needs to be in the lineup every night, because he's showing more potential in a smaller amount of time than a lot of what they've gotten from their bottom six, given lots of opportunities. So keep giving him that look, because it's been really good in limited viewings. Yamamoto was fantastic. Like, that game last night for him was just one of those games where every time he was around a puck, he was finding a way to make himself, you know, make himself part of the play. He was digging pucks. That play he made where he went in on the partial breakaway and put on the brakes and tried to do the backslide to change momentum, if he had buried that, that would have been unreal. I don't know that I've seen that done like that before. It was so creative. Then there was the one where behind the net he created the turnover, slid, like changed the angle and slid out front and almost scooped it in. Like, what a greasy little, you know what I mean? Just so good. And so I agree with you. I know what you're saying about those smaller guys that are pushing pace. And I don't know. I mean, I think ideally in that third line center spot, like, Kara's doing well there. I heard you guys talking before about maybe finding somebody in that spot. Ideally, you'd have a big, strong guy in that spot, like Kara is. I don't think you want too many water bugs. But when you have water, even Ennis, I think, is doing a good job with his size right now at playing the game a certain way, like you're talking about.
Yeah, no, I really like that point, and I think that's a point well made. And it just seems to me that they're just as you know, as a defenseman, when guys are on you quicker, it just feels like it's harder to make plays.
Yep.
And I think that's why it's disruptive. You know, that's the buzzword right now people use, and it really is disruptive. I think for so many for the way those guys play, then you mix in the talent they have. You know, they're starting to. I feel like they're starting to weed out the guys that maybe don't fit that profile for this team. You know, and if you're not going to be able to play with that buzz and that, and get in there and create something and disrupt, you might not be on that group.
Excuse me. Tourist.
Wow. I was going to say, listen, like there's no sugarcoating it, right? He's having a hell of a time figuring out a way to impact games. He's just having a really tough time for whatever reason. You know, he's getting bounced off pucks and bounced out of battles, and he's having a hard time playing with the pace that it seems like the rest of the group is wanting to play at. So, listen, this is a real challenge for him, man. And he's been around the league a long time. He's a smart player, I think. And this is his challenge to figure it out. And so far, he hasn't been able to. And the squeeze is coming because Haas is now healthy and pushing. Yeah. And all of a sudden, Jujhar Khaira woke up and took the third-line center spot from him. And you've got guys around him that are coming alive. So I don't know. I got a pretty good idea which way this is going to go with Turris, but I think the patience in the rope is probably... probably getting pretty short here, and he needs to find a way to make some sort of an impact on a hockey game other than being an okay penalty killer.
Well, the injury to Zach Kassian probably gives him a little bit of a stay of execution for sure. But, you do wonder, like with back-to-back games this weekend against Calgary, you got to think James Neal is going to draw into one of those games.
Look at the list, right? So you got James Neal, who doesn't need to be an every-night guy, but you're not going to leave him hanging for weeks on end. Right? Nygaard plays the game with pace, and at some point, they probably want to get him engaged again. I mean, Chiasson has played well in the time that he's been given, so I don't think his spot in the lineup's going anywhere right at this moment. Like, there's not enough seats at the dinner table. No. There's only so many plates, and he's had one the whole time here, but he's got to figure out a way to justify his existence in that lineup because it's getting to it. It probably should have been there already.
Yeah, and shotgun with him. And quite honestly, I don't really think he's even killing penalties anymore.
No.
Yeah, I agree. And when he was, he did an okay job of it.
Yeah, yeah. He's not. But I think, and this is no disrespect to Kyle Turris, but you want to see people getting pushed out of the lineup because someone's pushing them out. You know, you don't want to look down the bench as a coach and think, okay, well, who am I going to play? Like, who am I going to put out there? There are certain guys that are pushing for spots. And, you know, and there's going to be, like, Jujhar, this might be his high point of the year. You know, I don't know. Maybe it is and maybe it is. But you hope someone else pushes him out. Like, Devin Shore pushed Jujhar out. And maybe at some point, now Jujhar's pushed him out or pushing Turris out. Like, maybe that's what you want. You want people fighting for that spot that are on reasonable contracts in that bottom six. Like, that is, to me, that's a dream for a coach.
Yep, that's a good situation. Upward pressure throughout your lineup. So the guys who aren't in the lineup, you watch them practice and you hear the reports from the taxi squad coaches and they go, holy smokes, this guy's killing it out there. Okay, well now you feel pressure to get him in. Right? So then the guy on the fourth line who's knocking it out of the park, all of a sudden you're going, oh, geez, you know, he'd look good on that third line because that third line guy maybe had a bad game or two. Like you just want that upward pressure in all different parts. That creates a competitive environment. It keeps guys on their toes. And for too many years, it's been guys just have their spot in the lineup just because, and there's nobody to push. But with the talent this organization has in the next year or two, so with the guys they have coming on the blue line and with the quality of forwards that they've got that are going to be in the system, when the system is up and running and functioning, normal American Hockey League scenario, guys can come and go as they normally would. There's some depth in this organization now, and there's going to be lots of pressure on the bottom six guys from the Lavois and the McLeods and those guys as well. So you can see it's rounding into the way it's supposed to look, isn't it? Now they just got to make sure they keep enough skill in their top six to be able to compete against the really good high-end teams.
Yeah, I will say this about the Oilers' depth in the organization. A lot of their best depth isn't in the American League right now. They're getting crushed 0-5 to beat outscored 18-8 in their first five games because, you know, Broberg's not there. Some Samorkov's not there. Bouchard is up here. You look at maybe their best scoring wingers. Holloway, of course, is in college. Yep. So, the only guy down there I look right now who I think probably can play in the next few years is McLeod.
Yeah.
right? So
yeah, and you know, I didn't see camp because I was coming off World Juniors, but you know, reports were that I heard that was that McLeod was pretty good, was skating really well, and I think you're looking at him potentially as a, for a fourth line role to take a step 100%. Next year. And that's good. That means you don't have to go get someone in free agency because you got a guy coming in on an entry level deal that will do a good job. And then you've got, you know, Holloway. I'm not sure which way it's going to go with Holloway here, but it sounds like he may be pushing sooner rather than later, and just creates upward pressure. And then some of the pedigree of these guys. I mean, some of these guys may push for jobs in the top nine and the top six, even in the not too distant future. You know, so when has there been pressure from down below the lineup on anybody playing in the top six? When have we seen that? We haven't seen that forever. It's been putting guys in there that don't really belong and hoping they do the best they can, right?
Shogger, we will chat with you tomorrow. Battle of Alberta, back-to-back, Friday, Saturday. I'm loving it. Have a good one.
All right, have a good one. See ya.